Hello, and welcome to What's Your Story? Threads of Human Experience, a podcast of perspectives that weaves the past, present, and future. I'm your host, Zach Payne, and in this episode, we will be diving into the story of Lindsay Janes, the captain of the Mount Royal Cougars women's hockey team, and her journey from playing recreational hockey in her hometown to becoming a national champion. Growing up in Fort McMurray, Lindsay Janes was always involved in a lot of athletics. It didn't matter the sport, she was always very open to trying new things. When it comes to hockey though, Lindsay was late to the party, not starting until she was around 10 years old. Even then, she only played recreationally, not competitively. That was until a gentle nudge from her mother convinced her to give it a shot.
I was always a very competitive kid and I loved sport, and so when I kind of saw that opportunity to switch over to the boys and maybe move up and play at an elite level, it was actually my mom that kind of pushed me to do that. Originally, kind of was just playing hockey for fun, you know, because I really enjoyed it, and my mom really pushed me to try out. She thought kind of like, why not? And so I was kind of skeptical at first, but she really pushed me to do that, and I'm really thankful that she did, because I kind of just went into that tryout with, you know, I'm just going to try my best, and if I make the team, great. If I don't, then that's okay too. And I just tried to have fun with it.
Making the AA team, Lindsay now found herself in a position that a lot of young girls in hockey found themselves in, playing on a team full of boys as the only girl on the team. The experiences girls have on these teams vary dramatically. A lot of it depends on how welcoming the environment around them is. For Lindsay, she was fortunate enough to have a very welcoming team around her that made her experience as good as it could be.
Yeah, I feel like every girl who is playing, especially during that time, I think there's been a lot of progress recently, but at the time, I mean, for any girl who was playing on an all-boys team, there was obviously your challenges. Yeah, like I said, I had a pretty good experience in terms of the team overall. I had a very supportive coaching staff, and the boys were great for the most part. They made me feel very welcomed and stuff, so that was great.
Despite having a mostly positive experience, there were still little moments that reminded Lindsay there was a lot of room for improvement for women in hockey.
Just like going on the road and stuff, just, you know, the lack of inclusion really showed, and just in terms of, like, you know, visiting arenas. I remember sometimes having to get dressed in storage closets and public washrooms and things like that, because they just didn't have a space for me to get dressed, because obviously I wasn't getting dressed with the boys. And so just like little things like that just made it hard, obviously, because I just wasn't able to go about the game as smoothly as my teammates would, right? Because everything was just set up there for them, but it wasn't like that for me. So those are the biggest memories I have of those were the hardest times, of even just like finding a place to put on my gear.
And that's one of the biggest issues in women's hockey: accessibility. Like Lindsay, many young girls have to get dressed and put their gear on in storage closets, while the rest of the team uses the locker room. Others have trouble connecting with male teammates, and in the worst cases, some face discrimination and misogyny from teammates, coaches, and opponents. But Lindsay was fortunate enough to have a team and coaches that were very welcoming and made her feel right at home.
For the most part, it was good, and I had a good experience, and playing boys taught me a lot, so I'm grateful for it.
By playing against boys in a more competitive environment, Lindsay's development curve was sped up. She was getting better at the game a lot quicker. Eventually, though, as the boys got older, a lot of them got bigger, and it would get to the point where playing in a boys' league was no longer viable. And with no real chances for girls to play U18 hockey in Fort McMurray, Lindsay searched elsewhere.
And so I knew I had to move, and it kind of came down to either billeting, which is where you stay with a family that lives in that town, and they kind of act as your family and they take care of you, or dorms. And Notre Dame had dorms, and that's kind of what drew me to it, because I really liked that aspect and how it had more of a sense of community there. It's a small town in Saskatchewan, you know, and everything is kind of set up for you there to be successful on and off the ice. And so that's ultimately why I ended up choosing to go to Notre Dame. And I'm really grateful, happy that I did. It was a great experience while I was there, and I was able to develop on and off the ice and ultimately be able to play at university. So
that experience at Notre Dame strayed from a more conventional path. Living in dorms, being more independent, helped Lindsay mature a lot quicker. A maturity that would help her later on when she transitioned to playing at university. As for her experience at Notre Dame, though, Lindsay enjoyed her high school years both on and off the ice, but it was a playoff run in her senior year that would leave a lasting impact on her.
This is my grade 12 year, and obviously a very special season for me just as a graduating player. Just to be able to kind of go out with a bang a little bit was really fun. We ended up playing, I can't recall exactly, I think it was a semifinal of our division, and we were playing one of the top teams in the country, the Saskatoon Stars at the time, and we had a very great team as well. And it's a 5-game series at the time, and I remember we were in overtime in game 3. We were down 2-0 in the series, so we needed to win that game and to move on to game 4. And we were in overtime, and I tipped the game-winning goal in the back, and went in the back of the net, and that was a really exciting moment for me, just even as a graduating player, to be able to send that game to game 4 and be able to play my last game as a Hound in our home rink was really, really special. So that was a pretty big moment, and that was really fun, and we ended up losing game 4 and our season ended, but to be able to, like I said, finish my career at Notre Dame, like in our home rink, and everything was really special. So that was a pretty big moment for sure.
Despite not ending her high school career with a championship, Lindsay was able to go out on a high note. Then came a crossroads. Lindsay had already moved to play hockey at Notre Dame, but now she needed to move again in order to play university hockey. It's a decision that would weigh on anyone, especially someone just graduating high school. Lindsay received interest from a couple of schools, but the whole recruiting process left Lindsay waiting to find the right fit. And the right fit came along after having an initial conversation with Mount Royal Cougars coach Scott Rivette.
Got really lucky when the opportunity to come to Mount Royal came up for me. I was in my grade 12 year, and this was kind of in December at the time, and we were hosting a really big tournament at Notre Dame, and it's a tournament that a lot of college scouts come to do their scouting and watch players. And I remember being reached out to by Scott before that tournament started, and he asked if we could chat. And so that was the first time I met Scott, and we had a great conversation. And it kind of came at a great time for me because I was, as a grade 12 player, I was starting to get a little bit nervous. Because I had had opportunities come up in the past, and I even had toured U of A at one point, but I hadn't found that school yet that really gave me that feeling.
Still searching for that feeling, the anxiety regarding where to play was starting to show signs of life, and Lindsay knew that if something didn't come along soon, that stress level would continue to rise.
It's cliche to say, but when you know, definitely when it comes to things like university. And so I was still looking for a place to play, and hadn't been super stressed yet, but was definitely getting to that point. And so when I got reached out to by Scott, it ended up turning obviously out really great, but he brought me and my teammate, and still current teammate at the time, Caitlin Ross, to come and tour, and I was able to check out the school and the dressing room and the rink and everything. And I did get that feeling when I was on that tour, and I had just had that feeling of excitement, and I could see myself there and everything. And so I signed right there and then that weekend of my tour. I think that was in January of my grade 12 year, and the rest is history, I guess.
And just like that, Lindsay committed to Mount Royal University. As she progressed through her first year, she experienced what it was like to be a role player fighting for a spot in the lineup. Ice time wasn't always guaranteed, so she had to try to make the most of the minutes that she got. However, the team around her was very good, and they had national championship ambitions, so Lindsay was just happy to be a part of it. As the Cougars defeated the top-ranked University of Toronto, a championship run was very much on the table. Then, the unthinkable happened. The world stopped. COVID-19 shut down the tournament. Everyone went home. An anticlimactic end to Lindsay's rookie season. And it was an ending that left Lindsay and her teammates with a burning desire to get back to where they had worked so hard to be.
That was kind of the start of our big, what ended up being our big national push. I think we got a taste for what it was like to play at nationals that year, and that kind of motivated us going forward.
After the world started to get back to normal, the Cougars came out of the pandemic with one of the best teams in the country. They were ready to take the next step, but it was their turn to be on the wrong side of an upset.
Thinking back to my third year, we were one of the top-ranked teams in the country, and we ended up getting upset by U of S in our conference semifinal. And I think that loss was kind of the year that really propelled us into that national championship season. I mean, we knew what it felt like to lose, and we knew we didn't want to feel that way again.
A lesson in humility, but also a lesson that is common in the sport of hockey across the world. It's rare for the best teams to win. Typically, it's the teams that know what it's like to lose and know how to play in the big moments that prevail.
That 2022-23 season, I mean, we went on a bit of a losing streak in the new year, and I think that kind of adversity and coming back from that really set us up to be able to face the adversity that comes with playoffs. We went to game three every single series that we had during playoffs. We knew kind of going into that semifinal against U of A that was going to be a grind, and we went to game three and we came out on top, and that series was ended up being the game that sent us to nationals, which was really exciting.
And to nationals they went, heading into the tournament being ranked as the 8th seed, the lowest ranked of the teams playing at nationals. But the rankings didn't mean anything to the girls in the locker room. They knew what type of team they had, and they knew they could beat anyone.
I think for us, we didn't believe that we were kind of the underdogs. We knew that despite our seeding, that if things would have went differently, then we would have been ranked higher for sure. We went on to play the host team, the University of Montreal Carabins, in the semifinal, and that was a really big game as well, just in terms of crowd. I mean, they're the host team, and so they had a lot of people show up and support them, and so that was a really exciting game to be a part of. Our friends and family and our fans showed up for us, and they competed with the crowd, and they were there for us, which was super awesome, and we ended up winning that game, which sent us to the final. Super exciting going into that final. Obviously, we kind of knew we had nothing to lose, right? I mean, we were playing Concordia University. They were the defending national champions, and we kind of felt that, you know, all the pressure was kind of on them.
In that championship game, the two teams played to a near stalemate, but Concordia took a 3-2 lead with 9 minutes left to play in the third period. The clock kept winding down. 3 minutes. 2 minutes. 1 minute. Down by a goal, time was running out for the Cougars.
I mean, I can only really speak for myself in this moment, but I truly don't think at any point we lost hope. I remember being on the bench and it was like 20 seconds and they were counting down, and I just remember kind of thinking to myself, like, obviously, I was on the bench, I wasn't on the ice, but I remember just being like, come on, girls, like, you can do this. Like, I still had hope up until the very last second.
As the clock winds down, the crowd stands up and they touch twine. The Cougars tie it up with 1.8 seconds left to go in this gold medal game.
Just as the Concordia bench and fans started the celebration, the air was taken from their lungs. And with 1.8 seconds left in the national championship, the Cougars did the impossible and broke through to tie it.
When that goal like went in, I think it was just absolutely electric in that building. We were so excited, but then we kind of had to, you know, recognize we still had a game to finish. And so we were able to kind of have that moment during the intermission in the dressing room. And then honestly, from that point, that moment to when the overtime goal went in, I think I blacked out. Like, I don't really remember, honestly, a whole lot. I couldn't tell you what Scott came in and said to us in the dressing room, because it was just, the emotions were all over the place.
In overtime, the storybook ending reached its climax.
The puck out of their zone, they do. Aaliyah Joma with a chance. She'll fire it in. And it's in! The Royal University Cougars are your new U Sports Women's Hockey Champions! Montreal.
booked, and I just remember being so excited. I think I was kind of at the gate because I was out to ready, like getting ready to go out next, and that goal went in, and I just remember sprinting to like the big huddle, and it was just, yeah, so much fun.
No matter how ridiculous the comeback and however improbable the outcome was, Lindsey Janes became a national champion. The Cougars' bid to defend their national title fell short in the 2023-2024 season as they lost in the Canada West semifinals. Lindsey and the rest of the team now have their sights set on getting back to the top in 2024 and 2025. As Lindsey enters her final season, she has also started to think about what life after university will look like and what role hockey will play in her future.
Yeah, I think when it comes to graduating time, I definitely still want to stay involved in the game. I have a really big passion for coaching, so I'm hoping to be able to, I have dipped my toes in it a little bit this past year, but I hope to really make coaching hopefully my career at some point. I'm graduating with a degree in business, and so yeah, that's kind of my pathway. In terms of playing, I'm kind of, it's up in the air for me when it comes to maybe playing pro one day. I have had thoughts of going to Europe, but I'm just not entirely sure yet, to be honest. I think it just depends on how next season goes, but definitely want to stay involved in the game in whatever way I can.
Whether her career continues or she switches paths to coaching, hockey represents a major part of who Lindsey is, and her story shows that anyone, no matter where they are from, can make their mark if they're just willing to try. You've been listening to What's Your Story? Threads of Human Experience. I'm Zach Payne, and a special thanks to Lindsey Janes for sharing her story. This series was produced in Mokinsis, also known as Calgary, the ancestral lands of the Niisitapi, the Yahe Nakoda, the Susina, and Métis peoples. This series is part of the community podcast initiative based out of Mount Royal University, where we are grateful for the opportunity to create, learn, and grow. As our stories intersect, we see the value and importance in learning about the people and places where our lives unravel and recognize our responsibility to decolonize our media practice. Be sure to subscribe to What's Your Story wherever you get your podcasts to pull more threads and discover more stories.